but ask the, all those committees that are sitting today, the training is tomorrow, from 9 until 1 o'clock. All those that are sitting today, the training is tomorrow, from 9 until 1 o'clock. All those that are sitting tomorrow, the training is today, from 9 until 1. So, the department is just going to present, and then we will then have a discussion and understanding, obviously, with the knowledge and the training and everything else. But what we have done, what I want to request is that the researcher, before the department presents, the researcher must just give us an analysis or observations that he has made of the report. And then when the department presents, we have that information from the researcher, rather than him giving us that analysis afterwards. He gives us before. So that's why I have then asked the department to just wait for us outside and allow Mr. Liebo to do that presentation, that analysis. And then the department comes in. It's not going to be a long presentation. It's just going to be just an observation, a short observation. So that you have this observation analysis, and then the department presents, you have training tomorrow, and then the Auditor General comes next week, you tie everything together, we understand where we are going. I hope you understand. I'm sorry about the ambushing of the honorable members, but can you sit down, Mampa? Please, you are late and you are disrupting us. Thank you. Okay, can I hand over then to Liebo to do that observation and then? Yes.
What the researcher is presenting will be given to us to refer.
Immediately when he's done finishing the presentation, he will then go and make copies. I had to harass him because he was running late. So I told him to come because I didn't want this to be done after the department. It must be done before. So he doesn't have copies. So as soon as he's finished, he will then bring the copies. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My apologies about not bringing the copies. We have a problem with our machines in our unit, but I'll try and surely make sure that I avail those copies to the members, as well as sending them through to your emails. So let me, without any waste of time, let me quickly go through this short presentation that I've prepared. It will cover the third and the fourth quarter, as we might be aware that the department's financial year end is on the 31st of March. The first quarter of our new financial year is already available with the Department of National Treasury. As soon as Chairperson schedules another meeting about the first quarter report, I'll make the analysis available also. but let me quickly cover the issues that have been covered in this past financial year. The outline of the presentation is like that. Let me not waste time on that one. The expenditure analysis, I've already alluded to, is during the 2013-14 financial year. The department was allocated an amount of...
If Mr. Liebo can go to slideshow,
oh,
so that we can all see. I can't see from where I am.
Slideshow, Mr. Liebo.
Yes, it was allocated 28.1 billion rand, which represent a nominal increase of 3.1 and the real or 12.1.5%. An amount of 27.4 billion was transferred to the provinces as well as to the municipalities. It represents about 99%. But it has always been the challenge that the money gets to be transferred and gets to be recorded under the national department's coffers as having been spent. Under their books, it will show that the money has been spent, only to find that the money that was that it has only been transferred to provinces and municipalities. And in many instances, you find that other municipalities or provinces have challenges of spending this money optimally, which has been a problem over the years. I'll quickly go through this graph, this chart here. The first quarter of 2013 and 14, the department spends about 11%, which was very, 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 very low, because the Treasury General recommends that at least per quarter, 25% must be spent of the 100%. So if you take four quarters and there's about 25, 25, 25, 25, then the expenditure gets to add up to 100%. So the threshold, the first quarter, the expenditure was very, very, very slow, as well as the second quarter. At least it started to pick up as the year progresses from 65, and the department at the end spent about 98% of its allocated budget. Actually, we referred to some of the issues that were outlined by the Auditor General in his report, that the department disclosed an amount of 222 million for invoices received from the Department of Public Works for office accommodation. The AG states that the department did not yet occupy those offices, and this has resulted in the department's expenditure being not being less, because this money is just sitting there. The department has paid it, but the office spaces have not been occupied. Another issue that was raised by the AG was that the expenditure management has been a challenge at the department. It has also been challenged by the lack of oversight from leadership to ensure that financial program and operations at entities occurs without hiccups. What the Auditor General was alluding to here was that the management or senior management of the department disburses the funds to the municipalities as well as to provinces as well as to entities, but there's a challenge on their part on actually making sure that they follow up this money and actually see that this money is accounted for properly. That is one of the concerns of the AG. The action plans, Auditor General also stated that the department compiles action plans, but these action plans were got to be implemented quite late, resulting in the same findings recurring. So each and every year, it means if your action plans are being implemented quite late, the problems will always recur, and the department got unqualified audit reports from the Auditor General, but with findings. These are some of the issues that are contributing to such issues. The FFC also highlighted the fact that the budget of the department continues to increase annually, but their observation on the ground is that the units on the ground do not match what the allocations are. It means the allocations are more, but the units that are being delivered are actually less than the money that has been allocated. The FFC also alluded to the slow expenditure of the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant. This grant is actually meant to provide sanitation to rural communities, but the grant has been there's been an experience of the grant being spent slowly. The under expenditure is very huge under this grant. The Human Settlements Development Grant, which is also meant to provide infrastructure to the metros, has also been a challenge whereby it is being slowly spent, and this This can be attributed to the lack of capacity by some of the metros. Hence, the National Treasury and government introduced that new grant that is specifically meant to supplement the capacities in these metros. I'll quickly run through the expenditure per programs. Program number one was allocated 299 million, and it spent about 48.5 of this money was spent on the operational expenditure. Program number two, 72.1 million was allocated. The main cost drivers was the compensation to employees. Program number three, by the fourth quarter, it was 82 million. Also, the majority of the fund was spent on compensation of employees and goods and services, procurement of goods and services. Program number four, that is where all our grants are housed, housing development finance, about 162 million. Also, the compensation of employees and goods and services. The general observations, I'm going to quickly just read through the general observations. It is noted that the report, which has been submitted by the department, does not outline the challenges. As I was going through the report only states what the department's achievements were and what were the targets that were achieved. But it does not state what the challenges are, because the challenges are there, but the department must actually come out clear that these are the challenges, and so that the portfolio committee can assist wherever they can assist by providing a direction. Out of 98 of their targets during the 2013-14 financial year, out of 98 of them were achieved, which is about 80%. On the issue of accreditation, the department provided a number of municipalities that have been assessed for level 1 and 2. It is still a challenge as of now as to how far is the accreditation process, particularly when you're looking at accrediting municipalities to level 3. Which is still a challenge, and it is very slow, and the department must actually come out and actually take the portfolio committee to confidence that this process will be speeded up. Having said that, it is clear that the department is confronted with capacity-related challenges, and such needs to be attended to by the department through, among other things, expediting the process of filling of vacant posts. Vacant posts are still there, and most of them are funded, and most of those posts are very crucial. They are of managerial level. Provide assistance to metros whose spending is low, particularly on the USDG. Fast track training and development in cases of new recruits. Make use of government institutions such as the DBSA. DBSA's one of its core mandates is to actually assist government departments as well as municipalities by providing capacity and skills development. But then this institution seems to be less utilized by most of our government departments, even though there's still a challenge in the country of capacity. Yeah, I've already alluded to the time transferal of budgets. The department to enforce strict measures where slow spending occurs as a result of non-compliance and inadequate compliance with procedures and regulations by receiving entities such as municipalities and local government, such as provinces and local government. I think that those are some of the issues that are the highlights. So let me end this presentation here, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Liepo. Honourable members, What we were trying to do is that when the department then comes in to present, at least you have an understanding of some of the shortcomings, so that when they present, you understand. Like, for instance, what he is saying, that they are not saying anything about its challenges.
Yes.
They are not saying anything about in terms of the action plan. Now keep those things in the mind and park them. Then the department is going to come in now and present the report in detail. When they are finished, next week Tuesday, the Auditor General is coming to present. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Auditor General is going to come and present now their own observations about the department. And then once all those are done, we're able then to discuss and move forward. So for now, you're not going to be discussing anything. You just want to make sure that you understand the process. So Liepo has made the observations. Department is going to come in now and present. We don't try now and want, because already, but wait now, because now the Auditor General is going to come then, present to us next week, and tell us the spending trends, the challenges, and everything. And then we are able to have all that information in hand, and then we are able to then discuss. I hope you're happy. Yes, Mr. Honorable Ghana.
Thanks very much. And understanding that this is a family thing, we are here. I have to register my, maybe let's call it a disappointment. One, while the presentation, you see, the department gives us a presentation. According to what they presented last year in their annual performance plan, they are supposed to give us a report. And for me, I look at the presentation and I say, where does this information come from? I look at this report and I like, these two things are not talking to each other. And I did raise this issue yesterday with the committee secretary to say, you can't really be expected to have adequate questions on a summarized version of something that you don't know how it's summarized. And it's a problem. Maybe when the Auditor General comes, we don't want slides. We want the report. Because the DG cannot say that when he goes to the minister, he gives the minister slides. He gives the minister a report with everything insofar as per the plan is concerned. But why we are given only slides and not the accompanying information makes our job very difficult, Chair. Because one was trying to work yesterday and I can't understand what's happening, because it's too high level. So I hope we can deal with it. Just briefly, Chair, on what the researchers presented, especially the first two slides, or the first three slides, if I'm not mistaken, we're talking about the expenditure and so forth and those challenges. That information is the one that comes from the 2012-2013 report. And when we are considering the third and the fourth quarter, the reason I wanted the report was to see that trend. Because unless you can see the trend, you cannot ask the questions. And in a slide like this, we don't get that. So now the researcher gets this information from the 2012-2013. But we don't know what's happening in 2013-2014 because we don't have that report. And that's something that I think the department is shortchanging us on that score. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, we note that. That's something that we're going to keep in mind. But now what we need to do with all that Honorable Ghana that has said, let's keep it there and let them come in now and do the presentation already with the observations that we have made. And then when we are discussing, we will be able to tie up all those things together. Honorable Memezi, and then I allow them in.
No, Chair, I wanted to be firm with our researcher and our staff. I think they should understand that the portfolio rely on them. More so that we are new. The fact that we come here without this researcher's report is not helping us at all. So there's a lot that we also didn't hear from yourself. What happens at provinces? So we need the full picture. I think, because by the time when we meet the department, we should have been assisted by our own staff, because the department will do everything to present whatever they want to present. But yourself as staff, give us what you have seen. So I think, for record, you have not done us, you have not done a good job. So we hope you will improve. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Memes. I'm glad that you've raised that, because I didn't really want to be the one that seems to be unhappy. But whilst the department is going to come in now to do the presentation, I want the researcher to go out, make the copies, bring the copies to the members, so that whilst the presentation is happening, the copies of this is here, so that you are able to remind yourself. It must happen now. As they come in the department to present, he must go out and do the copies of this, what he has presented. We must get it as the department is presenting. Honorable Stoll.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, can I make a proposal? If the department and the secretary, Osisu Kolisha, can combine a thoroughly researched report about the department from their strategic plans until now, because there's a lot of things that happened from 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014 until now, because if you can check those threads of reporting, it can help the department, because especially the new members, that they are not familiar with the development that happened after during Minister Tokyo Sekwale until now.
Okay, can we then agree that the department comes in with that understanding, that even the background analysis of the previous reports, if you can make it available to members, I want to assume that it is in the system, they can get it in online, so that they can be able to make comparisons. That's what Honorable Stoll is saying. But in the meantime, we allow the committee to come in. We allow Mr. Liebo to go and make copies. We allow Mr. Liebo to do his job well. And the department comes in the moment. You can allow them in, Swazi. Grab something quickly, if you want to grab something whilst they are coming in. Honorable Mganga Sabasha. Eat something, Datukan. I didn't see you eating today. Quickly, while they are settling, you can just grab something. Thank you. Morning again, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement. We now welcome the Department of Human Settlement led by the Director General, Mr. Thabane Zulu, who are coming to the committee to present the third and fourth quarter report 2013-2014 of the department. What I'm going to do without wasting any time is to actually allow him to introduce the delegation from the department with him, and then after that he then goes to the presentation. We're hoping that as the presentation, what we will do then, we will not interrupt Mr. Zulu until you finish your presentation, and then we will ask you for clarities here and there, and then moved on. We hope that all will be well. There was, I think, one of the things, probably the concerns that the committee has raised, I'll raise them when you finish presenting. I don't want to deter you from the presentation before you present. So I'm going to hand over to you, therefore, to just introduce the delegation that is with you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements. Thanks for inviting us to your meeting to do our presentation, which is meant to deal with the third and the fourth quarter of the last financial year as per your invite. We appreciate your invitation. I just want to indicate that our three executives, we couldn't bring them along as well because such information relates to our work at a national level, as well as the money that we send to our strategic stakeholders, in particular the provinces who are our implementing agents. Changana is attending to the Interim Minister IMC meeting on mining towns, representing the department, and the COO is assisting Ralph, one of our strategic institutions for loans. There's a German delegation that is funding that particular institution, and they are here today. The acting CFO is currently on leave and is represented by Lucy, sitting right next to me on my right hand. Our executives are here with me, and with the permission, Chair, I'll ask them to echo their vocal cords before I do the presentation. Lucy.
My name is Lucy Masilo. I'm the Chief Director from the CFO branch. Good morning to everybody.
Morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is William Giana. I'm from Strategy and Planning.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, members. My name is Martin Mapisa. I'm a Deputy Director General responsible for Policy, Advisory Services, and Governance. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. The name is Kolani Tundu. I'm chief director responsible for communication.
Morning, chairperson, members of the portfolio committee. I'm Ipile Nkumalo, director, enterprise architecture, monitoring and control.
Good morning. My name is Wanda Ngosi. I provide executive support to the director general's office.
Okay. Does that mean the others don't want to introduce themselves?
Apologies, Chair. Morning. My name is Kosi, executive support to the DG.
Morning, honorable member. My name is Swazi Tai Tai from the ministry.
Say your surname. Kosi.
Oh, apologies, Chair. I'm Kosi Nivondo.
Okay, Kosi.
Ngiyabulisa nami ndingumbulelo Ncedana, PLO, Deputy Minister, Human Settlement.
Miranda Abrams, Deputy Minister, Human Settlement.
Thank you very much. Those are the people that you see on my left that have introduced themselves. I'm hoping that by now the officials know the honorable members, but maybe I must not assume. Maybe let them introduce themselves so that you get used to them every day. Let me start there with Honorable Ghana and come this side so that they introduce themselves.
Morning, Makashile Ghana.
Good morning, my name is Thandeka Qada.
Good morning. Good morning, I'm Tanya Baker.
San Bonan. Ikamu Katamabala Otole, Oilumarali Committee.
Malia Keshele, thank you.
Malgaba.
Morning. My name is Humphrey Memezi.
Morning. My name is Ndumiso Chapa. Ndumiso, if you are a Bible reader, Ndumiso, or Ndumiso 118. Yes.
Good morning. Ndingumama Pam Mukwanya, the Lilungulale Committee, Ndiyabulela.
Sanibonani. Igama Ulungi, Nganga Qabashe.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Obviously, by now, I'm hoping that you know me. The name is Noqawe Mafu. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement. Sitting next to me is Ms. Koliswa Pasia, who is the committee secretary. Thank you very much. I hope everybody has been introduced in the house. Is there anybody that has not introduced himself or herself? Or at the back, madam. Just say who you are.
Good morning. My name is Inga Jan from PMG.
Sandy, just say who you are.
Sandy Mbacha. From the minister's office. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, then we hand over to the DG to do the presentation.
Thank you, honorable chairperson. Our presentation will be quite brief. We've decided to go straight to the point, but I would like to give an outline of the areas that we'll be covering. Maybe chair should also declare that there is a visit by a minister from Danish government, which is starting at 11, of which the minister has requested me to attend. I would like to be excused around 11:15 to attend to that international work. We will deal with the overview of the two quotas as requested by the committee and reflect on the expenditure versus performance, which I think is the most important aspect of the oversight that the committee would like to do. We would also like Honorable Chairperson to look into the communication and outreach programs that we have been doing, and also to focus on delivery agreement. As you all know, that human settlements is also one of the 14 outcomes that government is focusing on, and one of those outcomes is to focus on sustainability of human settlements. Job creation is one of the areas which we are measured in terms of the work that we do. We'll also touch on that, so as the sanitation units. The two quarters accounts for the last year of the cycle, which is a very important aspect. We started a new term, so these two quarters, they reflect how the human settlements has actually concluded on its work within a cycle and also within the financial year. So it's a very important aspect of concluding on the mandate that in the last term this department was given by government. It also focuses on outcome 8 targets, as I've indicated. We know that we've got 14 outcomes, and one of the outcomes talk directly to human settlements, and there are various targets within outcome 8 that have been identified, and this department has been solely responsible to manage those targets. And in our presentation, you'll also get a sense of various stakeholders who are basically working with us in trying to achieve the targets that we have set for ourselves. Also, the efforts that we've been making from 2009 in the cycle to try and integrate sanitation function being part of the work that we are doing. There has been a challenge dealing with institutions that are responsible for financial institutions for our department. We'll also make some reference to that and how financial institutions within our sector has performed. Also to reflect how the subsidy scheme, which was revised by this department, has performed, and also what targets have we achieved in that specific area, because it deals with the cap market, which is an area that the government has been concerned about. Amongst other areas that we have in our targets, they relate to the land, which is very important in terms of identifying strategically located land for human settlements development purposes. And in this instance, we've been working with HDA as a targeted institution to assist the department as one of our stakeholders in identifying strategic available land from state-owned enterprises as well as local government institutions who are in at disposal of land, and this has been done pretty much well. The process of accreditation, I'm sure all members are now aware of the process that we're tasked with to deal with accreditation in identified municipalities. We'll also reflect how far have we gone with that particular target, what have we achieved, and what is currently outstanding. We have also adopted PHP projects approach as the D approach to deal with rural development in terms of enhancement, but we have also been using that approach in other areas to make sure that we enhance our capacity for delivery purposes. Our readiness in terms of provincial business plans, which we have improved in this year, we'll also like to reflect on the last financial year, how we have managed our business plans, how we have changed our approach, where the department has taken initiative to follow where the money goes, particularly because this reflects on our targets, and we then decided to focus precisely on the business plans of different provinces and make sure that the targets that we have set for ourselves in our delivery agreement are attained, and our strategic partners became provincial departments and other municipalities from a USDG point of view. We have also decided that if we sit back and do nothing, it's not going to happen, and we opted to make sure that we use our PMU unit, which was responsible of ensuring that on the ground, the targets we have set for ourselves, we follow the money and we put the systems in place to do effective monitoring and evaluation. That is just the gist of how we're going to cover. We have tried not to be too long-winded in our presentation, but to be more specific and give members a better sense of these two quarters. With your permission, Chair, I will ask our Acting DG for Strategy and Planning to take us through the content and the figures of our targets. Thank you. Mr. Chair. Suggesting that
let you start with your figures.
Thanks, DG. The slide talks to the departmental expenditure vis-a-vis the performance versus the targets and the outcomes of the third quarter. The first column talks to the final allocation, which was 228 and 228 million, which and the total expenditure was 119 million. And the third, it talks to the variance on and the percentages of how much was spent on the budget that was allocated on the third quarter. The under administration on our programs, we have administration that was allocated a budget of 105. Out of the 105, 54 was spent, of which there was a variance of 51 which was not spent. And the percentage was 52%. When we look at the plan target, we have planned to achieve 25 targets, and then out of the 25 targets, only 22 were achieved on that quarter. And we had a variance of 3 targets that were not achieved. And then the next program was human settlement delivery frameworks, which was budgeted 11 million and only 9 was spent. And the percentage was 84%. The planned targets that were there were 20 and we only achieved 9. Out of we had 11 that were not achieved. And the next program was the human settlement strategy and planning. On that program, on the third quarter, we budgeted 17 million. Only 7 million was spent. And the planned targets for that quarter was 19. Only 12 were achieved. And the program four is program management unit, of which the total budget allocation for the third quarter was 59 million. And out of that, only 18 million was spent. And out of the 18 targets, only 14 targets were achieved. And the fifth program is Office of the Chief Financial Officer. This program consists mostly with the transfers of the grants, and we had 19 million was allocated, only 15 was spent, and we had a variance of 3 million. Out of the 23 planned targets, 100% was achieved. And the last program is Office of the Chief Operation Officer, whereby 15 million was budgeted for, and 15 million was also achieved, which represents 98%. They had planned to achieve 13 targets. Out of 13, only 11 targets were achieved for the third quarter. The total achieved targets for the third quarter is 77%, which is equivalent to 91 out of the 118 planned targets to be achieved in that quarter. The next slide talks to the performance of the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, we had a budget of 206 million. Out of the 206 million, only 170 was spent, which represents the 82% of the total allocation of the budget of the budget that was allocated for that quarter. We had planned to achieve 123 outputs, which are the planned targets, and out of 123, only 98 were achieved, which represents 80%. And I won't go into details because this is the same as the information on the third quarter. But out of this, when you look at the one with the highest spending is the Office of the Chief Financial Officer. In that one, we are having the transfers of our grants. And out of the 17 million that was allocated, 15 million was spent, and the variance was 1.3 million, which represents 92% spending. And out of the planned target is 26. We were able to achieve 25%, so we are sitting at 96% on the fourth quarter. And the second highest is the Office of the Chief Operation Officer. They had a budget of 13 million, and they were able to overspend with 31%. They had an overspending of 17, they're sitting at 228. And they were planned to achieve 13. Out of the 13, only 11 were achieved. And the lowest spending is the Program Management Unit. They planned to spend 54 million. They had budgeted to spend 54 million. Out of 54 million, only 21 was spent, and they had only achieved 40%. In this program, we have got the NASP program, which was underspending, and all the other programs that didn't perform well in this program. Thanks.
Chairperson, the next presentation will then take us into the performance side of the department, starting with communication and outreach. This program is where Minister goes out to meet communities in various forums. In this case, we partner with municipalities and we partner with stakeholders as well. This period we also had a stand or a show at the Rand Easter Show as part of reaching out communities to teach them about our products, including some of the finer things that we seem to be missing, not to sell our houses that are given to them. We then give pamphlets and advice in such instances. So the Rand Show in Johannesburg and Pretoria Show were used, and also we worked very closely with the South African Housing Foundation, based here in Cape Town, on their work as well. We also participated in international programs such as BRICS, the BRICS conference, which was held in Durban. There were 4,500 generic publications distributed by GCIS on our programs throughout the country through the Tusong services. Next slide then talks to door-to-door campaigns as well. It was actually quite interesting that because of elections, we tend to work with politicians closely and are able to even reach people at their homes door-to-door. And community imbizos, where we bring people together and must have a pitch in my key and have either of the principals presenting. We did a number of those. Youth and women build. These are flagship projects where we are encouraging young people and women to take construction more seriously and be professional and entrepreneurs in that segment of the work. And equally, the community outreach activities were hosted during April, May, and June 24, covered four provinces where houses were built and handed over. We tried to have these engagements linked to an outcome, and some of them is mobilizing people to participate in the building and the handover of the house, targeting elderly people and those that are disadvantaged. Coming to the core program during the period, outcome 8, the objective there is to create sustainable human settlements and improve quality of life through upgrading of 400,000 households, implementing the NASP program, or the National Support Program, delivering 80,000 well-located and affordable rental accommodation. That is the 5-year program. A declaration of restructuring zones for rental accommodation, accrediting 27 municipalities, and the land that was acquired by HDA to be used efficiently in human settlements development, and also looking at the improved property market. Those are the sub-objectives of what we were doing over the last 5 years. The next slide then talks to how we performed. We believe we exceeded the target of 400,000. We were able to reach 423,000 households in terms of the target by the 31st of March. This represents a 104% performance, which is slightly above the 100% of 400,000. This was done, upgrading of informal settlements spread across the provinces, the target for each province given on the second column, and the total delivery on the third column, and the percentage of delivery. Eastern Cape did 100% of their targets. Free State exceeded their performance. Gauteng also exceeded. I think it was during the term of Honorable Memes' tenure. If I'm not mistaken. KZN slightly underperformed, but I think their program is picking up quite well right now. Limpopo, due to some of the problems of the where the treasury was under administration, certain things could not work well, therefore they are showing as underperformance. Mpumalanga was close to achieving its 100% mark. Northern Cape far exceeded, smallest province. Northwest also underachieved slightly, knowing the problems that you still encounter within the Rustenburg Marikana area. Western Cape is doing fairly well at 117. The next slide then talks to how the NAS program performed. This program is meant to assist municipalities by giving them technical support. 47 of the municipalities were reached of the 49 that we targeted, which means the program performed quite successfully, and we think we would increase the pace in this particular work. Then there were 50 municipalities representing 605 informal settlements upgrading plans. You would see even in our MTSF that the target around this one is higher. Where we had 50, we've gone to 2,200 in the coming year or coming term of office. And then the capacity building linked to that was also fast-tracked. By the end of December, we had evaluated all the bids which are supposed to get us into a much faster track starting in this financial year. So we were better organized this time around, and we think this program will far excel going forward. Rental accommodation, this is linked to the restructuring zones. There were 60.8% restructuring zones targeted. Restructuring zones by definition are approved or confirmed restructuring zones by MECs, and therefore we work very closely with the cities that call for this and the provinces, and sometimes we're not able to achieve the objectives that we're looking for at the pace we would like to have. And this is one program we are investing a lot of energy starting this financial year. The revision of the social and rental policy is ongoing. You will see also in the MTSF we're supposed to have a final version of this policy by the end of the financial year. This will be coupled to the backyard rental policy so that we have one comprehensive policy on rental, whether it's formal, backyard, or informal. We need to have that. And that will assist the tribunals as well when they have to deal with disputes that arise due to some of the rental arrangements that are made. To date, we delivered 51,000, which represents 64%. So of the 80,000 that we had set to do, we did not meet the target of 100%, but we were able to achieve 64%. Municipality accreditation, we moved quite well. We achieved a 75% target, and we are in terms of level 1 and 2, we believe we will be on track again. The one part which we will be looking at going forward is the monitoring of those that we have already accredited, how they are performing. That's an area which upfront we can tell you the department is working closely to ensure that we look at the history where we started, how are they performing, and therefore we're able to get into that. The assessment or the assignment, that is a discussion under consideration right now, and I think the next joint technical MINMEC will discuss this and come up with a position going forward. The release of well-located land, there was a target of 6,400 hectares to be acquired. Working through our agency, the Housing Development Agency, we're able to get 9,000 hectares. This represented 149% target, which means we made a good gain on this, and we believe that we'll see the conversion of these into human settlements in this financial year in a much more sharper way. The next slide then talks to the financial linked program. This program is meant to bridge us who are working in government to also be able to achieve or reach or get bonds. The revised policy was implemented in 2012 and is being currently amended because of the view that the outer limit of the financial from 12,500 to 15,000 is necessary in order for more to achieve or to get a unit that is affordable, because it's always about the product. these amendments will also come through in by the end of this financial year. All implementation processes are working. We're working very closely with our National Home Builders Finance Corporation and various marketing and communication initiatives to make sure we reach a large segment of the population. Probably this work will also tie in nicely with a piece that's being done by DPSA. Delivery of 600,000 housing finance opportunities in the target market, that was the original target. We were able to achieve 65% of that. But there is a slight increase with the start of this financial year, and it's starting to show a better appetite because we were able to sign agreements with banks to work with us, and that's starting to show and yield some good result. Moving forward, we've got a number of DFIs which are financially linked, RALF, NURTURE, NHFC. There was a call for regionalization that the three be merged and become one financial entity. In Minister's budget vote in July, she announced that RALF will immediately be absorbed or brought into NHFC. NURTURE was left outside because of a contract with the Soros Foundation in America, and therefore that relationship needs to be sorted out before you can match. And therefore that work is also moving with speed. The mortgage default insurance scheme also is pending treasury approval, and that discussion is ongoing. I think DG is handling that one. And therefore we continue to look at the improved property market. These are some of the loans that we achieved to show that banks are already coming back into our side of the market and they are contributing to people's livelihoods. Our DFIs, inclusive, including DBSA and other DFIs, we were able to distribute about 292,000 loans. And banks, the formal banks, distribute 94,000. The proportion is becoming better. We hope it's going to, the matching will be much higher as we go forward. Employer-assisted housing, again, we're hoping that the DPSA policy piece will assist in injecting more participation in this particular work, and therefore the numbers will increase substantially in the next financial year. So that's the total of what we achieved. Of the 600,000 targets, we were able to achieve, attain 65%. Our work, because it's an economic activity, building a house is an economic activity, it does create jobs. It creates jobs at various levels, and we try and measure those. We are not able to measure at manufacturing point, but we measure mostly at construction point. And so the numbers that you see are meant to link to the number of units that we built and therefore the number of jobs that were created. This particular quarter, there were 2,163 service sites and 31,415 top structures delivered. This translates into almost 17,000 job opportunities if the definition equates to a person employed for a period of 1 year is considered. And that's the way we if temporary employment also is factored in, the number jumps up quickly and it goes up to about 37,000 during the construction phase, because that's where you employ a lot of unskilled labor to work. This then summarizes our presentation, Honorable Chair, and gives a synopsis of how the department has performed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chiani. Did
you? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just to summarize in one sentence, just to say that this has been a period where the Department of Human Settlements was moving away from the then mandate of housing. A number of changes have occurred, and this is within the cycle that we tested an elevated mandate of the department to try to give it an effect. And that led into some structural changes in terms of how the department is structured. That led into taking some initiatives, such as establishing a unit that must oversee our work in terms of monitoring where our money goes and also to give effect to PNG policy. So it's been a cycle within which the department was trying to test its new mandate. Again, Honorable Chairperson, this is the cycle within which our ministers were expected to sign agreements with the President and put targets that must be monitored and measured by the President. It all happens in this cycle. Also, it was a cycle within which a new approach of delivery agreements was introduced, whereby delivery agreements are signed as well to put targets and work with other stakeholders in realizing those targets. So it's been a very exciting cycle, but a lot of things have been tested during this cycle. This cycle will be measured against how effectively do we begin to translate the things that we wanted to do moving forward in terms of our mandate, in terms of our structure, in terms of the resources, and most importantly, how do we go about changing our Housing Act to make sure that it's in line with the new mandate, because there are quite a number of things that we need to put in our legal framework to make sure that they get effect of the mandate of human settlements. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Zulu. I take it you finished? Is it by default that you don't want to say anything about sanitation?
Not at all, Chair. We have submitted a brief summary of the sanitation function, which is moving from the department's 2009 from Water Affairs. We have also given just the outline of where the work is being done at the moment. Chair, with your permission, we'll suggest that we may have to do a much more comprehensive presentation on the sanitation from 2009 when it was introduced by the President, from how we have performed in the last 5 years, and what are the new measures are we putting in place since there's been a new announcement by the President introducing Water Affairs and Sanitation, and what is it that we are currently doing. We haven't concluded the structural arrangement as yet, because the introduction of sanitation component to Water Affairs has called upon us to review our own structure, and we are talking with the Minister of Water Affairs and Sanitation as well as with the current acting DG. That process is not concluded, so we would appeal to the members if they can allow us. But we have given you the summary of what is happening at the moment, which does not necessarily talk to the third and the fourth quarter as such. Thanks, Chair.
Time frame? When? How much do you want?
Chair, I'm sure a month should do. We have sent different letters to DPSA. We are also trying to get some officials to be moved from other departments, and that will require some consultation with the executive authorities as well. Mm-hmm. A month should do, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Zulu. That's the presentation from the department that exclude the sanitation program, which then they are requesting us that we give them a month to come and do that presentation in a month's time to the portfolio committee with everything that has been done, with the transition that they are in, and what is going to be happening. A month from now, which would be plus minus the 2nd of October, that report will be in front of the committee. With that amendment, therefore, here's the presentation from the department. Just probably, if you want just clarities, remember we're not discussing it. We're just collating. But you can just ask clarities and things that you want to ask without letting your ducks out and letting them know what you are about. Okay, clarities, Honorable Member. Yes, Honorable Ghana, followed by Honorable Stole.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the department for the presentation. Obviously, it is a bit difficult to engage with slideshows. You all understand, DG, that sometimes we need the notes accompanying a lot of this. For example, you know, for me, and I'm trying to think, on slide number 8, you have two units there, in fact three units, that have actually seriously overspent. But you have three units there that have seriously overspent, but that overspending is not followed by the delivery. And that's, for example, I mean, if you look at the DG, if you look at the last one, the chief operations officer has basically got 18 million rand to spend in 3 months, but then he couldn't even meet the targets that were set when the quota started. And for me, the absence of further information or explanatory notes makes it difficult for me to provide oversight. Because figures alone, if maybe money is shifted from one program to the other, then it helps in one phrasing the question. So maybe, Chair, what would help before we go to the meeting next week, it's if possible we can get the full report so that we understand these notes, so that we can ask the relevant questions. Because now, as it is, one cannot ask the questions based on the slide. But this one, this particular slide, it's a concern. Especially considering, and my reading is that 13 or that 14 million for the unit, it's a quarterly budget and not a full year budget. It will be interesting to see, and this is the thing that I wanted to see, how much it was allocated as an annual budget, and then because I think one of the things that we always hear is this, what do you call it? You call it financial dumping. That happens in the last 3 months of the financial year. Fiscal, not financial. that fiscal dumping, because it's either that or actually there are other programs that they get up to that was not budgeted for. And that's why, like for me, I say the full report helps. Because if you have that fiscal dumping, as you refer to it, and that's one of the things that I think in the last two audit reports, the AG did mention that you know, your rate of spending seems to spike in the last few months before the end of the financial year, and such kind of thing. So, yeah, if I can get the full report, then on Tuesday I'll be better prepared, because there are other areas as well, you know. Obviously, Limpopo question. I'm from Limpopo myself. You know, DG, in the last two financial years, Limpopo has actually brought money back. I think from the human settlements that they couldn't spend, and if you look at even the I know Limpopo doesn't have a lot of informal settlements because we do not have a lot of trains and we do not have a lot of factories, so we do not have a lot of informal settlements. But those that are there, they stand out there. And I had the explanation that the treasurer was placing them under administration. But that is not, for me, the real reason why they underspend. And I think we need to go deep into why Limpopo continuously underspend the money, or in terms of the programs that's being assigned to them. And then finally, it's one thing that's missing here. It's how provinces and municipalities are actually spending on their grants. Because if we are to look at the quarterly reports, one of the things that will come up, because these municipalities will return the money, Honorable Memes will know, and say, no, we couldn't spend because of 1, 2, 3. But it seems like we are not actually tracking how they are actually spending. And they have quarterly reports as well that I think it should feed into the national department so that we know whether they are spending in time. Because if we wait until the AG has come and done the complete audit of the provincial and municipal department, it might be a bit late. So that's something that's missing. I hope it is in the full report. And I think that's almost it. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Kala. Honorable Stoller.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we must thank the department for the report. My chair is on slide number 6, under branch expenditure versus performance. The last number 6, the office of the chief operation officer. The spend is 228%. But the achieved target is 85%. I'm trying to get some overspending here and underspending in the budget thereof. Because I don't understand if they say 228% which were spent. But there is this 2% which is not achieved. If they can explain that, Chairperson. And the other one, Chairperson, is the slide number 9. Accreditation of 27 municipalities to undertake human settlement functions. And last, when the minister was here, they were talking about there's some contestation between the municipalities and the provinces. But I want to find out how far about that contestation. And the other one, Chairperson, is the efficient utilization of state land for human settlement development. How many square meters have been transferred from Department of Public Works to human settlement? If land, yes, I'm talking about land. And the other one, Chairperson, is over expenditures by the department, Chairperson. Sometimes upgrading of informal settlement. Sometimes we have to go and do the oversight on this over expenditure, because if you check Free State, the target was 26,400. But they overspent. They have 143.8%. Actually, most of them, because if you check even Northern Cape, 179% target, they achieved the target of 170. It means we are over expenditure to our target, or either our target is not tied to what we want to achieve. Because if you say you want to achieve 100 units, now we over expenditure. Do we have budget for this over expenditure?
Thank you, Honorable Ketamabala. Honorable Ketamabala, we are asking clarities.
Yes.
Honorable Ketamabala.
And the last one, Chairperson.
The time is still coming to discuss.
Okay.
So can you hold on to your clarities, the questions that you are asking? Remember, the first question that you asked is directly tied to what Honorable Kala said in terms of the overspending that you don't understand. Because that's exactly what she has asked in terms of more information and understanding of what has been done. You just phrased it in a different manner, but that's exactly what he asked. So we understand that question. But let's see now, when you talk about the overspending, you really want us to get to the discussion. We're not getting there yet. Remember, we are still asking clarity so that we are able to understand what's happening. Discussion is going to come at a later stage. But I understand why you want to ask those questions now. So we will allow the department to respond to those that they're going to respond to. But remember, we are not discussing yet. It's just clarities on the report. Any other clarities, those that have got afterthoughts that want to ask? Honorable Baker, Honorable Shalembe, so that when I give the department, they respond to all the clarities, so that they don't respond in piecemeal. And Honorable Qata.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Oh, that's better. Thank you, Chair. Page 9, efficient utilization of land. It says the target exceeded 9,361 hectares. Just for my own information, the average site size that would have been utilized, so that 9,300 hectares, how many sites for per, I'm assuming this is for housing, how many sites does that translate into? Thank you.
Honorable Salembe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I request the department amidst the explanation or the definition or the difference between level that the when it comes to accreditation level 1 and level 2. So I've missed something there. And would like, I mean, to know whether there were any, I mean, attempt by the department in regard to the very, very poor performance of the Limpopo and KZN, considering the years before the complaints, especially in KZN. And the other one is the issue, well, one must say, yes, we are happy in regard to the job created. But I want to know from your department, when it comes to these people being getting jobs, you have not say something like the transfer of skills, say, when, I mean, the contractors or the job has been done. It's fine, they were given jobs, but what is that is done so that these people, at least after the project been done, but they have skills, given to them. And the last one is the issue of you did not explain much in regard to the training to the new recruit, because that is what is affecting the performance of department, especially in municipalities. So now, once you're doing that, but what is the follow-up to ensure that in municipalities we have that type of training? And also, are there any contract that is agreed upon if a person is given a training that person must stay with the department for how long? Otherwise, you train the person, tomorrow is applying somewhere, and then it becomes a waste. Thank you.
Honorable Pat.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is not the clarity that I'm seeking is not from their report, because we are given the opportunity to ask when the time is coming. But just especially on the fact that we have a huge challenge of providing houses to our people, I was hoping that in your report you will touch base perhaps some of the alternative building methods that we need to implement as this department. And the reason why I'm asking that is because I think it's something that we need to push very hard, because building a house is not supposed to be like brick and mortar. There are all the other alternatives that other countries are using. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. I'm going to hand over to the department. I just want to remind the members that the report is the third and fourth quarter. The third and fourth quarter. I understand sometimes that we would want to know more. It's not an annual report yet, it's the third and the fourth quarter. But let me hand over to the department to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thanks to Honorable Members for clarity-seeking questions. My colleagues will try to respond to some of them. I think the request by the Honorable Member Ghana will be supported by documentation. This was an executive summary of what is contained in our quarterly reports that we do. So we'll provide all members with quarterly reports. And I think one is also cognizant of the fact that some members are are pretty much new into the work of this committee. Obviously, for every quarter, we basically submit information, so we are able to see where we have been, how we have performed in the last quarter. But it also helps to get a bigger picture of what has happened, and I think we shall do that. I'm not sure. We'll also check if our annual report is not ready, because annual report then gives you a detail of everything that you are looking for in the annual report. You'll find it, which gets compiled at the end of each financial year. I will check if it's not ready. If it is, I will make sure that all the processes that needs to be followed, we kickstart. That will help as well to get members into speed, taking cognizance of the fact that that information will help to get a bigger picture of the third and the fourth, and where we've been and where we are going. If I were to touch on maybe issues of spending regarding Limpopo province, I think it's important to note that we did define the budget for and the business plan for the provincial Department of Human Settlements for Limpopo as a risk business plan in the last financial year, and in agreement with the executives, the principals, we agreed that some interventions must be reached, and there was that agreement because it was clear that some of the funds are not going to be utilized due to the administration. Whilst the Department of Human Settlements was not under administration, and I think that should be clear, but the treasury, provincial treasury, was, of which it had an impact in terms of releasing funds. I think they put quite a number of stringent measures to be followed for money to be released. And in this sector, you need to always speak about pipeline planning. You always plan in advance, and you miss 1 month of your plan, it affects other plans. I think when we realized there was no way that this province was going to be able to utilize the funds that were identified, the MINMEC, together with the principal of the department, took that initiative. So it was in the interest of ensuring that the sector identifies where the money can best be spent to realize the objectives of our mandate, and it was done in that fashion. And the portfolio committee was continuously informed about those developments. And again, you find that in some departments you have an overspend on the budget, and in some you have under. I think it's the nature of the sector as well. I think all that you do is to check the marginal difference as well. But in terms of accounting principles, informed by the planning principles, you don't discourage either of the two. Once you put your budget, you must work within it. But there are unforeseen circumstances that you find other departments going above and asking for more money. In some instances, you find that the business case was not done properly, and as a result, you have an under expenditure, but the project is delivered. For as long as the project is delivered, but you have not spent the money. If it's above again, there are processes that we follow to approve such over expenditure to deal with those issues. Can I ask colleagues, but as I've said, Honorable Chair, the quarterly report for the two quarters in full detail will be provided to Honorable Members before Tuesday next week.
Thanks. Thank you, Chair. With regards to public works land, we will endeavor to get the numbers correctly. There is substantial amounts of land that we got from public works as well as land reform. So we'll try and get the breakdown for what are the amounts of land. Tied to that perhaps is to the question of the hectareage. That's a planning instrument. It varies against what is requested to be achieved. If it's single density residential units, it can be 800 to a hectare, 400 to a hectare. It depends what are the size of the plots and so on. If you want to go up to multi-density, then it becomes higher. But average, you're looking at about 800 per hectare. Then Honorable Shelembe asked about levels. levels is a reference to the ability to take a certain function of the department. Level one is you are able to start at, being responsible for the database and its management of the housing function. Level two means now you're taking even further responsibilities over the first level, and that now may include a level of administering the funds as you do the projects. But we'll bring it. It will be in the annual report. The clarity will get more. I hope the next few days meeting will give even better details, because we're going to have a workshop and then we can have a better conversation. For today, it may be a bit restrictive. Job creation and transfer of skills is inherent in our work. It's a function of what are you looking for a job for. If it's the public works linked project, it is always linked to acquiring skills. Our programs in government are now directed to do that. And so it's a question of the builders on site and how they work with the people. We don't get that close to involvement on that aspect, but our nature, the agency, is established to be an emerging contractor development agency. So its core function is to assist in ensuring that we have a trained cadre of emerging contractors. So as a department, that's where we contribute our training aspect. The second part may relate to two aspects. Either you're talking about training of students who are coming into the industry, or induction of officials that are getting employed into the department. I'm not sure which one you are referring to, but we've got a training program which offers even a career in the human settlements environment. The degrees offered through Nelson Mandela University, and I think UNISA is also going to offer that training. That is also meant to now professionalize working in the human settlements industry. It's not the same as engineering and architecture, because there was never a program for that. So that is established and up and running in those universities. But if you get employed into a department and you've been trained through that program, there is a contractual obligation. You may not work necessarily at national department. You may be deployed to any of our entities, even at municipalities, but you've got to work there for at least a number of years. And I think it's a minimum of 5 years after concluding your training. And so we've covered that. But it's a question of whether I'm covering what you're looking for or not. The challenge of providing housing, that was a comment. I suppose it's not for us to make a comment on, but to say that alternative technology as a process, as a concept, is highly driven. If all goes well, when we have the Indaba, Minister hosts the Indaba on the 25th and the 26th, there should be a component of the alternative building technology showing. So, exhibition, that's the right word, exhibition, on the day. To just confirm to Honorable Carter that's part of the extent we are taking this particular way. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Jana and Mr. Zulu. I think what we must agree upon... No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Yeah. I think what we need to agree upon is one, that this is the third and fourth quarterly report, which Honorable Ghana has asked for more information, which the department has committed to having that distributed by next week, which by then the annual report will also be out to the members, which then will make sense of what is happening, because this report is just a third and fourth quarter which you were not even part of, which is going to be a bit confusing. But once we have, you have the full annual report, therefore, which will give the full picture of the previous annual year, you are able to understand what has been happening in the department. And I think what, therefore, we need to agree is that the explanations that we have been given are adequate for now, but the questions that some of the members have asked can only be clarified further when we are discussing the annual report. And therefore, with that at the back of your mind, remember when we get that annual report, even the issue of the accreditation and honorable chairman will then go into detail into it and understand what has happened in the previous year. So we will discuss that. But as Mr. Zulu has said, more explanations will come through as well when we attend the policy workshop over the weekend. And therefore, tie these things all together and be able to understand them further. And I think, therefore, without laboring the issue, the report has been tabled, we've heard, and I'm just going to allow Honorable Ngangabashe to, because she has had her hand up, and then we allow the department, therefore, to be excused. Yes, ma'am.
No, Chair, I think you've on one area have covered me, because I was going to suggest that instead of getting piecemeal reports, because we won't understand, always, if you are looking at the previous work that were not part of, it assists to wait for an annual report, always. The second part, Honorable Chairperson, is that I wanted to assist your office, that the department, please, when you say you are going to submit a report next week, please submit them during the first at least 2 days of the week, so that the office of the chairperson, which is the Secretary of Parliament and her colleagues, are able to develop those packages for us, and we are able to get them early enough before end of Thursday. Because the problem is that if they arrive late, some members, for one reason or another, if there is nothing the following day, they are not around. People that are around maybe are chairs and whips and very few members, because they can be called even on a Friday to do some work. But the rest of the members, the chief's office is addressing that, but people are used to it, that they will just leave and are not seen in this precinct on Friday. So it's very difficult for us as people who are leading members in various political parties to get the members to look, study the document in time and be able to contribute meaningfully if the document arrives late. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ngangacabashe. One of the fortunate part is that the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement sits on a Tuesday. And members are doing constituents work on Mondays. So most of the time they arrive in the evening of Monday and they have to come to the meeting on Tuesday. So most of the time they have not even seen the documents. That's what Honorable Mnana said. If it would be nice, therefore, that it gets delivered the previous week, so that at least by the time they leave on Friday, they have sent the documents. If it comes to us on Friday, they are gone already. They are not here. They are already on their way to Limpopo. Honorable Ghana is on his way to Limpopo, and Honorable Ketamabala is on his way to KZN. So most of the time, therefore, they would even see the documents on Tuesday morning, because they would arrive on the last flights. Like me last night, I arrived at 11 from Gauteng. So that's why, therefore, you hear Honorable Ngangacabashe making the humble request that if possible, documents must be distributed at least by Thursday, the previous week, but at least by the time they leave, they have them, just to assist each other. It's just a request. It's the unfortunate part of our situation. What now, Honorable Memes? Honorable Memes, you are abusing me.
Thank you very much, as long as you allow me, Chair. Yeah, so
No, Chair, I think one point, each time when a quarterly report is presented, I think even if we are going to be discussing sometimes in the future, but for now, as they have presented, I think they must know that we don't appreciate poor expenditure. Once you are given a budget, because we want you to be given more money. Now, if you don't spend, we are not happy. Remember, the quarterly reports would end up in the whole financial year report. So each quarter, please go with that understanding that we're not happy with those that underspent. But those that overspent but still didn't finish targets, we're not happy because overspending is not allowed you. Because it tells us you didn't plan properly. You're not good planners. So you all have qualifications, so you said you understand that your field of work, isn't it? So now plan properly. So please spend.
Okay. Thank you.
Spend.
Thank you, Honorable members. Thank you, Department, for coming. And we appreciate the fact that you graced us. We're still very sweet for now. So don't get used to it, because next time it will not be as nice. But thank you very much for coming. You are excused. The honorable members can just stay behind because we are not finished with our business. You can just go, there's tea outside for 11, go and grab tea, honorable members, and then we finish off. Thank you. Members, that we have that invite from the department on the policy consultative workshop, which is supposed to take place from the 4th to the 6th of September here in Cape Town at the Townhouse Hotel, which at least they have managed to cut down by one day. It's not finishing on the 6th anymore. Oh. It will be finishing on the 5th, which is Friday, so that Tinano Honorable Ghana, we can go home. We argued that we can't be staying in Cape Town for the whole weekend. Yes, and the two of us. The rest can stay, but we are going. So the workshop is starting on Friday, on Thursday, at 5:30, after the plenary. It will start at 5:30 after the plenary, and then it will finish on Friday at 5:30 in the evening. So what you can do, therefore, when you come to the second day, which is Friday, you can come with your luggage. You can arrange your traveling. So from there, you can go home. That's what I wanted to clarify to members. Also, we have asked them to invite the NCOP as well, even if it's just probably the chair of the select committee. But I think they need to be part of this policy workshop. And I don't know if honorable members have seen the program, but they have circulated the program more or less of that workshop, which will I don't know. Have you seen the program?
No.
Not yet.
I emailed to everybody.
Yes, it's emailed.
The program and the concept.
It's emailed.
Mm. No, long ago.
You've got it in your system, Honorable Ghana, but at least they've also circulated the hard copy.
I'm not yet connected.
Okay. We apologize for that. But if you look at some of... Can we get who... Maybe what we need to do, those that are not connected must indicate to Ms. Pasia, so that we don't assume that everybody has got information when they don't have. So But we also want to stress to members that we will not be sleeping at the venue. We will organize transport for people to go and sleep in their homes, because it's just the Thursday night and then Friday you go in. So we will not be sleeping at the venue. But there will be transport that will be arranged for honorable members. The program is a bit very tight, but it tries to touches on all the things. I think it will help us to grasp some of the things that we are grappling with. So I really would urge all of us to attend this workshop. Those that will not be able to attend must indicate that at least we are able to collect the information for them so that they've got the documentations and packages. We know who's not going to be there, rather than we don't see you and we don't know where you are. I think it will be very important for yourself. And that's one. The second part is that you will remember there is an Indaba, a human settlement Indaba, that is set for the 25th and the 26th of September. That date might change, but we will communicate with members when it will take place and where it will take place. But there is a human settlement Indaba that will also be taking place. And lastly, there is then we will be having our own strategic plan, which we will then confirm the date. Remember, we had said the tentative date is the 19th. That date might also change, but we will communicate with members. But the strategic plan is very critical for all of us. By next week in the meeting, we will confirm the date for the strategic plan, because then the strategic plan, we're going away. We will be going away probably around Western Cape, not far, just to be, so that at least we can concentrate and come up with our own program as the committee. So those are the three things that I wanted us to understand. So then the last part, remember there is the Chamber of Mines that has invited us over lunch. They will be here next week on the 10th. They will be having their own workshop, and they've even invited committee members. So from 12:30 at the townhouse, the very same hotel that will be there for this weekend. So it will be on the 10th next week. So I thought I must just remind members so that you don't get lost of those dates. Honorable Khan, you had your hand up.
Thanks, Chair. Just wanted to check on in our program. Next week we're supposed to deal with a bill. I'm not sure whether we are dealing with the bill and the AG on the same day. Just need to be sure that I manage and I start preparing adequately, because preparation differs. And then I think with a stress workshop, if possible, Chair, there's just now a lot happening that maybe we can do it for the first weekend when we come back in October.
Yeah. We will look at that proposal, Honorable Khan.
And the training tomorrow, you mentioned something about training. Yes. Where is it and what's happening there?
Oh, you know, this. I'm not sure how they are communicating. What happened is that last week there was a meeting of chairpersons, and then in the meeting of chairpersons, then they explained the training that is starting off the BRRR process. So today, from 9 to 1, the committees that are not having meetings today, that their meetings are setting tomorrow, their training is today. I think it's at the old assembly. And then tomorrow, those that are sitting today, their training is tomorrow. We are Group A. There's Group A, B, C. So us as Group A, our training is tomorrow from 9 until 1. I'm assuming that then by the end of this day, the venue will be confirmed. But they have said probably it's going to be the old assembly, because that's where the training takes place all the time. So there's that training tomorrow from 9 until 1 o'clock. I will hand over to Ms. Pasia about the Randall bill issue. But the AG's office is coming to do a presentation at the normal portfolio committee meeting next week. I've met with them, and they will then come to do a presentation as part of giving us those tools to understand moving forward. Ms. Pathy?
Good day, members. The program is going to change slightly for next week. The chairperson has already indicated that next week the AG requested to come to the committee to do a training workshop on how to oversight tool to look at the annual reports and quarterly reports. So it will start at 9:30 up until 11. And then from 11 till 1, the department will then brief us, of which there are two agenda items from the department. But I will have to speak to the chair to check which one must then be carried forward and which one we can consider on the next week, Tuesday. Thanks.
Will you let
that know? Yes, I will SMS or email.
I'll let you know by tomorrow in the house. I think I will come and speak to you individually. Thank you. That's what I wanted us to understand moving forward in terms of program, so that people at least can know what is happening in their diaries. Otherwise, the bill has not been referred yet. So even though we are talking about the bill, we will let you know if it's gonna be. But the main item next week Tuesday is the AG. Okay, thank you, honorable members. With that, I think we can. Mr. Shalem, you want to speak?
No, just asking, can you send me just one diary?
You want a diary?
Yes.
You don't have a diary? We can. We will buy you one because it's already now September. It's September already. We will donate one. Because it's already the end of the year. Thank you very much, honorable members. I think there's a plenary in the afternoon, so you can go and do extra work in your office. The meeting is honorable Keta Mabal. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.